Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Scott Kaplan on CBS Sports Radio.
What is going on, clones all around the country and around the world, listening on radio, watching on television? Scott Kaplan in today for Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. That's right. All right, what a day we've had so far, really. I said we're all going to be smarter at the end of today's show, which, by the way, for someone like me, I need that big time, okay? So Jim Nance was on earlier talking about the NFL week four that kicks off tonight between Miami and Cincinnati. That was great. Casey Stern was here talking about the baseball playoff races. Huge weekend coming up between Atlanta and the New York Mets, and that's going to decide that division. We were talking about the Dodgers and the Padres and these two walk-off wins over the last couple of nights. I say walk-off for the Padres on two nights ago, and then the Dodgers get an extra inning win last night. So we talked a bunch of baseball. I want to turn my attentions now to some college football, because last Saturday night, I was watching USC against Oregon State on the Pac-12 network. Yogi Roth was the color commentator on the broadcast, and I was texting him during the game. It's always interesting how sometimes you can get a hold of these guys during the game, because USC didn't look great, but they still found a way to win a road game inside the conference in a hostile environment. Let's talk some Pac-12. Let's talk college football. Yogi Roth is in. Yogi, good afternoon. Glad you're here. Great to have you, man.
Yeah, man. We're making E.J. Borghetti proud back at the University of Pittsburgh, man.
Hey.
I love talking to you, and congrats on all your success.
Well, hey, right back to you, man. I mean, if we right now, I just want to talk college football, but if I really wanted to get into it, producer, director, documentarian, former coach, author. I mean, Yogi Roth is a super accomplished guy, and yes, we share our Pitt football brotherhood. So, Yogi, start me off with USC. They go up to Corvallis last week, and they get that win, and I may have underestimated how good Oregon State was. I saw who they had beaten, Boise State, Fresno State, like a Montana State. They were averaging almost 50 points per game, but I still felt like USC was so high-powered they were going to be able to go in there and take care of business. It was not an easy win for USC, and they came out of it, Yogi, with a lot of criticism. People maybe thinking they're not as good as their ranking. What do you say about USC and their win last week?
I think it was a hell of a win. Like, I think that you live on the West Coast, so you probably feel me on this. I think in certain parts of the country, you could have a game like that, and it's a gritty win. What a battle, whether that's Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. You know the teams I'm talking about. And out here, sometimes the same type of game is called an ugly win, or, oh, they didn't play well and got lucky for a win. I'm telling you, man, I've been in this league for almost 20 years. That was a gritty win. You know, Oregon State can win the Pac-12. Oregon State can, their style of play can hang with a lot of the teams in the top 25, in my opinion, in the country. I think they're a top 25 team. Like, when I look at Wake Forest, what's the difference, right? Wake Forest won by one or two over Liberty. Oregon State, you know, beat Fresno State on the road, right? And smoked Boise State at home. Like, say what you want, but they're dramatically respectable programs in major college football. And Montana State was number four in the country at their level, and we've seen a bunch of upsets in the season, and they rolled them. So I think Oregon State's real. So I'll start with that. For SC, what was most impressive in the game is Lincoln Riley and the culture that he built. That place was crazy. It was as loud of a game as I've ever called, and there was 28,000 people there. Like, a brand new sound system, standing room only, and even Lincoln Riley said after the game that it was a challenge for their team to play. Like, you saw them using timeouts. They used all three of them in the first half because of the noise. Mm-hmm. You saw delay game opportunities pop up as the game went on. But I'll say this. I had the vantage point because of the construction of that stadium directly on Lincoln Riley and his sideline the whole game. I mean, they're literally 40 feet in front of us where our makeshift booth was. And he kept that thing connected, right? Kaylee Williams, he was off. Every elite player is going to have a game where they don't have their fastball. But he kept them connected. Reigning Biletnikoff winner Jordan Addison, he wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. And when it was oftentimes off. He stayed with it. These guys did not sulk. Like, it wasn't fun. They didn't probably enjoy not playing well. But Lincoln and his staff kept it connected. And the defense kept him in the game. The defense that is often criticized and maligned, and that was the question mark, and it was fair coming to the season, it was a question mark, but to create four turnovers, lead the country with 14, and they don't give the ball up. They haven't given up a turnover all year. And then to see them in the final drive, drive down the field, quarterback throw of the year to his receiver for his biggest catch of the year, for a touchdown to win the game, and then get an interception on defense on the very next drive, that to me said culture. And I think that win is going to bode well not only for this weekend against ASU and Washington State next week at home, but they go to Utah in 3 weeks. That will be Oregon State times two. It is crazy. I'm heading there right after this interview to call the Oregon State-Utah game on Saturday. And that is going to be another challenge. And I do think that the Oregon State test and their success in that test is going to allow them to walk into that game and be able to go beat the defending champs, versus if it was their first experience on the road in front of a hostile crowd.
And we're talking to Yogi Roth this afternoon. It's Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. Yogi is a color commentator and an analyst on the Pac-12 Network. We were talking about this USC-Oregon State game last week, and you just mentioned it, Oregon State against Utah. When I look at USC's remaining schedule, yeah, there's the Washington State game. The Utah game looms, but Oregon State against Utah, you know, people I think were very down on the conference early in the season because you saw what happened when Oregon played against an Ohio State, or, hey, listen, it was a gutsy move by Utah to go play at Florida at an SEC school, which they lost that game. But this game this weekend, Oregon State against Utah, how do you think this thing could go down? Because I'm, after what I saw at Oregon State, I'm giving them a real chance to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a top 25 matchup, in my opinion, as I referenced. And there's, you know, no team in the country that, you know, is a contender for their league has to do this, right? Play the defending champs and the perennial power, right, in USC and their brand back-to-back weeks. And it was an emotional game, as you referenced. Like, it felt, calling it with my partner, Ted Robinson, like every snap, like the game was on the line. And, you know, you talk to Jonathan Smith, their head coach at Oregon State, and he'd say the same thing. Like, it was an emotional game. And they lost, right? So you don't want to let SC beat you twice. And I think this team, they've got a lot of guys that have played a lot of football, whether it's Chance Nolan, their quarterback, they've been around, or Jack Coletto, the guy who kind of does everything, a litany of guys in the back end of the secondary, and they got a seventh-year senior in Jaden Grant, you know, playing a safety spot. I think they have the maturity to be able to handle going on the road. Now, Utah, they've got the talent to take a run at the whole thing, and not just in the Pac-12, but get to the playoff. Since that opening loss to Florida, which they had 20 missed tackles in, they've been in the low single digits every week. They finally figured out and solidified their front seven on defense. They might get a boost of a starting linebacker coming back this week in Mo Diabate. Their back end is full of guys in the NFL. And offensively, they settled in on their O-line. They lose their best player on offense in Brant Keithy to the season due to a knee injury in the game over the weekend. But I think they have depth at that position. Dalton Kincaid will be the guy, the transfer from University of San Diego, has been at Utah for a couple years now. He's an NFL player, tight end. So they've got the tools and players to go beat Oregon State. But I think this game's going to come down to if Oregon State can handle Utah's front seven and run the ball, it sets them up in the play-action game. And then their guys have to make plays down the field. If they can do that, this game will go to the fourth quarter. If not, Utah will be able to find success at home and continue their run since that opening week loss.
Yogi Roth is here. He's an analyst on the Pac-12 Network, and he's getting ready, like you said, to take off to call Oregon State against Utah, and just said he thinks Utah can not only win the Pac-12, but could get into the playoff. And we started with USC because USC still has a big game coming up. Arizona State maybe this weekend, not so big, but that game against Utah is out there a couple weeks out, and one of those two teams, I mean, listen, one of those two teams could, especially if USC, like you said, with their brand, if they're able to win that game, who knows? If they could run the table, they might find themselves in the playoff. Yogi, let me ask you this. Friday night, number 15 Washington takes on UCLA. UCLA's 4-0. It's a very quiet 4-0 because they've beaten Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, and then they had a conference win at Colorado, and we know that Colorado's not really all that good. So they're 4-0, but do they pose a real threat, UCLA, particularly in this game Friday night against Washington?
Yeah, I do. I think you look at this team or this league, and there's 7-8 teams that I think could end up in Las Vegas. We've talked about a few of them. I think UCLA is one of them as well. You know, I called the game against South Alabama, which they won on a last-second field goal. It wasn't pretty, but they played a team that had 15 Power 5 transfers, right? Starting running back from Florida State. Interior line is all from the SEC. Not an excuse, a reality. And I say that because it was their first real test. And then Colorado, we saw them roll. So I say that because, like, when you saw Utah week one or Oregon week one, 29 missed tackles, 20 missed tackles, respectively. UCLA defensively has struggled in their first few tests of the season. Well, last week against Colorado, they put it all over them, and I get what Colorado is. My point is, like, now they have a little bit of, like, that real game experience, especially defensively. That's what they need to bring on Friday night, because they're going to play an offense with a legit Heisman candidate in Michael Penix Jr. and an offense in Washington. When you watch them, it's like their foot's on the gas the whole game. It's like their receivers are running downhill because they are taking shots and haymakers, and every play is designed to score, and they've done that a lot, whether it was when they rolled Michigan State or, you know, last week against Stanford. So it'll be a challenge for UCLA, but for UW, it's the first time they're leaving home. How do they handle that? For UCLA, offensively, they feel really healthy and confident in Zach Charbonnet and Dorian Thompson-Robinson, both a little bit of dinged up as the season got started here. The question will be defensively. Can the Bruins slow down at all UW on offense? They got a couple D linemen. We'll see what their status is for the game once we get to Friday night. Their secondary's been challenged over the last couple of games. How do they handle the challenge, which is this game? And I see us seeing an extremely well-coached game with Chip Kelly and his offensive mind, Jalen DeBoer and his staff, and Ryan Grubb, their OC's offensive mind. And I think we can get, like, true Pac-12 after dark, high-scoring affair, and a really fun game with two teams that I think could win this league.
Yogi Roth is here breaking down some Pac-12 college football. And, Yogi, because you cover the Pac-12, do you get to see or you have opinions about other places? And the reason I ask is because I want to talk about two games in particular, one in the SEC and one in the ACC. Have you seen any of Kentucky or Ole Miss, number 7 against number 14 this Saturday? Those are two teams that those names don't normally break into these kinds of high rankings and have this sort of a big time game this early in the season. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, for Lane, known him for a long time at Ole Miss, Jackson Dart, and you know, this team's ability. They haven't had any dramatic test, I think, this year. Right? Tulsa was a closer game than they probably would have anticipated a week ago. I think for Kentucky, you know, what they did to Florida, you've got to respect that, especially after seeing what, you know, we all saw in the Utah game to start the season. So I think we're going to get a highly contested game. And what's interesting about this game is, like, either one of these teams can all of a sudden win, and now they're the sexiest team in the country, and they're a top 10 team, and here comes the run. Or they can end up with, like, four losses. Like, I think that's how kind of the SEC goes. Like, kind of like I referenced in the Pac-12, there's eight teams that can compete for the title. I think these are two teams that could compete and knock off the big dogs in their respective side of that league. Right? Like, Kentucky will make life hard on Georgia. Right? You look at Lane and his team, they'll make life hard on Alabama and the teams at the top of that league. Like, they always have. So I don't really know, like, if either one of them are true title contenders. And that kind of an issue anyway with the AP poll, you know, with where we sit now, because I don't think we know much. I mean, this is a league that, for the most part, is entering conference play. You know, some teams have already had two conference games. Like, here in the Pac-12, we have 9 conference games. So for the SEC, they're jumping into it now. So I don't think we know enough to be like, yep, Kentucky's a top 10 program. I think it's mad respect to the rebuild that they've done and for Lane the same thing. But to say, like, either one is a powerhouse, or one of them will end up 10-2, or one of them will end up, you know, 7-5. I don't know. Like, I don't think we know enough. That's what makes Saturday so exciting for this ball game.
Yogi Roth is here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Scott Kaplan sitting in for Jim. Hey, one more game I just want to throw by you from the ACC. Number 5 Clemson against North Carolina State, who's number 10. Both teams 4-0. I love the Clemson quarterback. I love his resilience. You know, everybody knocked this kid last year, and he didn't have a great year. And Dabo Swinney said, no, we're sticking with this guy. And he was one of the top high school quarterbacks in the country. And I love his resilience. But North Carolina State, there seems to be a lot of hype around this program. I know both of us follow the ACC as well. What do you think about Clemson and NC State?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. Because I think for Clemson, they were challenged last week. And I loved how DJ got them out of that one. Right? And to your point, like, I think the mastery of a head coach and leadership is sticking with your guys when it's hard, right? And now it's harder than ever because of Cade Klubnik at Clemson is really talented at quarterback. He came through the Elite 11. We saw him, and I think he'll be a star there. And it'd be easy to make a change. after, you know, the early season offensive struggles, one might say, from Clemson. But he stuck with his dude. And I think DJ's got a unique trait. He's got a unique skill set. It's not just his athleticism. He's got a big arm, he's got a big hose, and he's finding accuracy with it. And now he's, you know, he's game savvy, right? He's played in big ball games and had success in big ball games. We saw last year where it'd be the opposite in a tight game. And I think for big time recruits, that can really wear on you. Now, the challenge this game to me is Clemson's defense, because Devin Leary, he's a surgeon, bro. Like, he is a dude. Known him against in high school, came out this summer as a counselor at the Elite 11. And now he was built for games like this. This team, NC State, I feel like they're the team that has a lot of success, almost like Utah. Not at the level of Utah's success in terms of they haven't won their league, but they don't seem to get a lot of respect nationally in terms of the rebuild that they've had there under Dave Doran. So I think this game's going to be tight. I wonder how Devin and his team handle the environment. I think they'll settle in. I think they're veteran-laden. I think they'll be okay. And I wouldn't be shocked if we saw an upset on a big stage Saturday night. But I think it's going to be another great game that'll come down to the last couple of possessions.
It's going to be an awesome weekend of college football. I mean, here we are. We're starting off the weekend with NFL football tonight. And there is a college football game tonight, Utah State against BYU. But, Yogi, it is great to talk to you. Awesome analysis on the Pac-12 stuff. And thanks for looking around to the SEC and the ACC. Safe travels to you. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thank you.
Yeah, brother. Have a great weekend.
All right. Right back to you. Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network. What a guy, man. Seriously, you talk about somebody who can kind of do it all. You know, author, producer, director, documentarian, coach. This guy, he does it all. All right, there you go. There's Yogi Roth talking college football. Hey, clones, if you want to get in, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Oh, Alvin, nice. A little Alanis Morissette. I've been talking about this all day long. The Taylor Hawkins tribute show. They had one in London. They had one Tuesday night in L.A. I was there until 1 o'clock in the morning. Alanis Morissette playing with the Foo Fighters. It was incredible. Truly incredible. All right, coming up, Dr. David Chow from Sports Injury Central. What is the status of Tua for tonight's game? And I want to look around at some of the biggest news and injuries from around the NFL. Dr. David Chow on the way. Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome, and this is the CBS Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Alvin DeLauro absolutely crushing today's broadcast with the music. I came in early today and I was talking to Alvy and to Garrett. I was like, guys, Tuesday night, I'm over at the Forum. I see this insane show and I start telling him Rush and Queen and Pink and Alanis Morissette and the Foo Fighters and everything else. And I'm like, we got to play some of this music. And here's some Pink. To see Pink on the stage with Heart and with the Foo Fighters, I mean, it was truly the greatest rock and roll show I know I've ever been to. I don't know that I'll ever see anything like that again. That many artists in one place for a six-hour concert. Didn't get home till 4 o'clock in the morning. Been dragging ass the rest of the week. Thank you, Alvy. Appreciate that. And by the way, Dave Grohl, let me just talk to you for a quick second. You put on this show on a Tuesday night. The rest of us have to go to work the next day. How about you, man? Like, you chilling? You hanging out? Like, me and Dave need to get together. We have to do a beautiful thing. I got to become BFFs with Dave Grohl. I do. All right, Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. And you may hear my next guest, Dr. David Chow, as part of Jim Rome's Big Head Bets podcast. And Dr. Chow is here because I got a lot of things I want to ask him about, starting with tonight's game, Miami and Cincinnati. Dr. Chow, 17 years as the then San Diego Chargers team doctor, and now his website is called Sports Injury Central. You can find him online at SICK, S-I-C, SICKscore.com. Dr. Chow, good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great, Scott. Look at you, big time.
Well, I'm only big time because Jim Rome allows me to be big time and sit in his chair. That's kind of really the only deal.
Don't forget the little people in San Diego.
I'm going to try not to, Doc. I am. I'm going to try not to. Hey, David, let me ask you this. The Tua situation tonight, you know, there's a lot of question marks. Will he play? Is he okay? Everybody looked at him last week get hit in that Buffalo game see his head hit the back of the natural surface. I want to make sure that we're clear on that part of it. And then they see him stumble. And the assumption that every NFL fan is, oh, that's what a concussion looks like. Here's my question to you. Could that have been something other than a concussion that could have him stumble?
Well, I mean, it could. Look, by video, and you know what we do from the Command Center and Sports Injury Central, I even tweeted out that that appears to be a visual sign of concussion. And even if he answers every protocol question correctly, he needs to be ruled out. Of course, the only asterisk is if there's another believable explanation to the off-balance stumbling or whatever it was. We did go back and look, and in the first quarter, there was a quarterback sneak where he got bent over backwards. And look, I think it's preposterous to think the Dolphins would engineer a shenanigan. The team doctors or the independent neuro red hat on the sideline would go along with it. You've been on a lot of sidelines to see that, Scott. That's just not happening. But is it plausible that a player might spin a story to stay in a game? I mean, I'm not accusing Tua of doing that, but that's been done before. I mean, I had a conversation earlier this week with Rich Gannon. He said, I've done it a few times in my career. We all remember Julian Edelman in that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 49. Now there's an Edelman rule where there's a medical timeout. But Tua's going to play tonight. His back's going to be a little sore. I'm more concerned about short week for him and all his teammates. Some muscle injuries. Jalen Waddle, their number one corner. It's a short week. They traveled early. They didn't get in much practice. They left early because of the hurricane. They had a big division rival game that was in the heat. I get it. They're more used to it than the Buffalo Bills, but heat still affects you no matter how much you're used to it and humidity.
Dr. David Chow from Sports Injury Central, sixscore.com. You can also hear Dr. Chow on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets, his podcast, where he talks a bunch of gambling. By the way, if you are trying to get seriously like an edge for your fantasy team or for your bets that you're making this week, you got to check out the Sick Picks. They're called Sports Injury Central. It's sicscore.com. Dave, the thing about the Tua thing, just last part on this, is that I've been on plenty of NFL sidelines where a team doesn't want to tell me, the sideline reporter, what's really going on. I can remember a time, this is many, many years ago, the Denver Broncos, their quarterback was having his shoulder examined. And then when I asked them at halftime what the injury was, they told me something completely different. I'm like, well, that's interesting. Why would you be telling me he's got a knee injury when you're examining his shoulder? So years ago, maybe you tried to have a competitive edge by not necessarily truthfully reporting the injury, but I would find it very hard to believe in this day and age of concussions and all the visibility of concussions that anybody is going to send a player back into a game, especially medical personnel, if that player has a concussion. That's all I'm trying to get at with this Tua thing. I think everybody jumped to an automatic conclusion.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, there's no way an independent neuro who would get fired from their job, risk malpractice lawsuits, their house and home if something happened to Tua, to win a regular season game. It's just preposterous. I don't think the team physician would do that. And if he would, he should be fired as well. You're just not going to do that. So it seems like the story has to be plausible. What's the real truth? I mean, look, talk to players you have. Yeah, they spin stories sometimes. Look, it's well known that certain players, some players, not all of them, will tank their baseline concussion test. So when they do get one, they can come back and test and clear the protocol earlier. I mean, it's just, we still need more education out there. I'm not for any of this stuff, but I'm with you that I don't see how the doctors participated in any scheme. And I would welcome, and I welcome that NFLPA investigation. If there is something untoward, everyone should know about it.
Yep. We're talking to Dr. David Chow. 17 years he spent on the San Diego Chargers sidelines as their team physician. He's got a website now called sixscore.com, Sports Injury Central. They break down injuries from all the teams, give you who's the healthiest, and it's really going to help you with your betting. We'll talk more about that in just one second. Doc, Myles Garrett this week got into a single car accident. The reports are that he was driving fast on wet roads and tried to avoid an animal, and the car spun. You've seen the photos of the car that Myles Garrett was driving. Is it realistic to think that as Cleveland goes to Atlanta, that a player can get into a car accident early in the week, even if it's non-life-threatening injuries, and get your body back together again to play on Sunday? What do you say to something like that?
Yeah, we published at Sports Injury Central that we don't think he's going to play. Look, there's no actual video of the accident, but everyone's seen the car, and it not just spun but rolled over several times. I mean, he's lucky to be alive, and we're certainly very grateful, and football is tertiary compared to that. But to believe that all he has is a simple shoulder strain and a bicep strain, I mean, he got hit by a truck, so to speak. I mean, he flipped over. I mean, you think playing on Thursday after playing Sunday in a short week is hard. This is much harder. Look, he's got to be a hero if he can play and play effectively. I would be surprised.
All right. Cleveland Brown fans, Dr. David Chow says he'd be pretty surprised if Myles Garrett can play this upcoming week. Doc, I keep hearing about Dak Prescott and hurrying back. And, you know, I was talking to Jim Nance about this earlier. You know, Cooper Rush has kind of surprised the world by winning two games in Dak Prescott's absence, and he's 3-0 as a starter in the league. So, number one, I guess I would, if I were the Cowboys, I'd be saying, take your time. They're playing against the Commanders this weekend, a game in Dallas that they should be able to win. But Dak Prescott coming back from the thumb injury, hand injury, what do you make of that one?
Well, I think it's a fallacy in the NFL for anyone to say, oh, take your time. It's just XYZ team. Look, Justin Herbert tried to play through hurt with his ribs, and the Jaguars still spanked him. The Chargers have Houston this week, but can they afford to sit Justin Herbert? No, this is the NFL. It's not. You don't have Alabama versus San Diego State ever out there. They're all very well evenly matched. As far as Dak's thumb is concerned, it's just not realistic for him to return to play. Look, I am fully anticipating we're going to see more and more video. We've already seen some of Dak throwing on a sideline in training. Look, he's throwing a football now. It was a training football last week. But just to be able to throw a ball doesn't mean you can play any game. Is it all throws? Is it game conditions? What if the boy's ball is moist or wet, et cetera? What about ball security when you get sacked or hit? You can't fumble the ball. What about the confidence to follow through on a throw when you know your thumb might get hit and your accuracy? What about your thumb hitting a helmet or someone's elbow or arm again and re-breaking and starting the clock all over and needing another surgery? It's more than just, oh, I can throw the ball some. It's just not that simple. I don't see how in the world he plays this week. I think it's great fodder. They're carrying him, and they're not putting him on injury reserve for the hope that he can return before four games. But you also have to understand, Scott, you know this, with the new practice squad elevation rules, the 53-man roster spots aren't as precious as they used to be. And on a slight chance, Dak's return might be a little bit quicker than people thought, it might be worth it to keep him off of injured reserve. But, you know, Jerry and company, they're trying to speak things into existence. And if they really sit down and analyze the dangers, I think they'll be smart about it. Look, years ago, and I'm not at all critical about Jerry Jones or the Cowboys. They do a good job, and the medical staff. But, you know, Tony Romo, a couple years ago, a few years back, before he entered the broadcast booth, returned on the early side from a clavicle fracture, and it's bad luck, got dumped on the shoulder again and rebroke it.
I was standing right there on the sideline. I walked right from the field to the locker room with Tony Romo that day, just because I was reporting on it, you know, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, Doc, real quick, we got about 2 minutes to go. One last one. You mentioned Justin Herbert. You know, my perception was that the Jacksonville Jaguars weren't that good, but they had beaten Indianapolis 24-0 the week before. I thought Indianapolis was no good, but Indianapolis came back and beat Kansas City last week, and Jacksonville went cross-country and beat the Chargers in L.A. But I still think that this Justin Herbert injury is probably going to be with him all season long, and I'm not sure that they did a very good job of protecting that player, especially when they're down 38-10 in the fourth quarter and the kid is still going back out there. What do you think about that one?
Well, look, Justin Herbert this week is wash, rinse, repeat. This cartilage rib fracture injury is not going to heal in another week from last week. You saw that he was in pain despite whatever medicine he had, injection or otherwise. He's a tough kid. He's going to try and play through. But the Chargers' issues go deeper than that. Rashawn Slater with the biceps tear is out. Joey Bosa with surgery is out. I don't think J.C. Jackson's going to play. Their number one addition at corner. Keenan Allen has a chance to return. Corey Lindsley, their center, is iffy. They've got some issues. Meanwhile, Jacksonville was very healthy last week, and that's what we talk about in terms of health, et cetera. As far as protecting the kid, I don't criticize anybody, but this is kind of what happens. Once you allow a guy into a game, the coaches are going to do what they want. There have been times when, you know, I remember one time in San Diego, I got talked into allowing Bates to, you know, do 10, 12 red zone snaps. We just need him for a decoy. He won't play much, but we just have to have him. And I remember looking up at the head athletic trainer in the second quarter going, he's got 25 snaps already. And he shrugged and I shrugged. And yeah. The lesson for that is when you tell a coach a guy can go, it's like giving your car keys to your teenager. You can set the curfews and say yes to the nearby mall and home. But when they show up and where they go when they have the car keys is anyone's guess.
Dr. David Chow from Sports Injury Central. Hey, Doc, we got about 30 seconds to go. If you want, please promote Sports Injury Central and what you guys do, and we'll drive a bunch of traffic your way. SICScore.com. Go for it, Doc.
Yeah, listen to the Jim Rome's podcast there. We have fun on that. We give some injury tips. We're the only site that does injury analysis, a team of doctors, five NFL former doctors, and other sports. We give you injury information for you to make smarter choices in fantasy, DFS, and the gambling space. We don't give you the spin. Mac Jones, let me give you a hint. He is not day-to-day. Okay, I don't care how many times he says it, or Coach Belichick, and I respect him, says it. We try and give you the truth, not the coach speak or the spin.
There you go. Dr. David Chow, you can hear him on Jim Rome's Big Head Bets podcast. Doc, great analysis this afternoon. And if you're looking for that edge, SICScore.com. Dr. Chow, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Scotty.
All right. Appreciate that. Hey, listen, the huge tweet of the day on the way. You can tweet at Jim Rome. You can tweet me at Scott Kaplan. The huge tweet. Small business owners, you may have overpaid on your payroll taxes if you were disrupted or shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 1-800-704-2000 or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com to learn more. Alvy, one more time with some Foo Fighters. What a show. Tuesday night, a tribute to Taylor Hawkins. I mean, every one of your rock and roll heroes was there. They traded out drummer after drummer after drummer. It was truly incredible. You can check my Twitter timeline at Scott Kaplan. You can check my Instagram. I've posted some videos. They didn't live stream this one like they did in London. So if you want to see some of what happened on Tuesday night, go for it. All right. Final segment of the show. Clones, if you got quality content and a contribution to the show, maybe. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Time right now for the latest sports update. Rich Ackerman standing by. Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. And this is the CBS Sports Radio Network.
Sports Flash.
Oh, week four of the NFL season begins with one of the only two unbeaten teams remaining. One is in action, or I should say there are two unbeaten teams, and one is in action tonight as the Dolphins meet the Bengals in Cincinnati. Miami held off the Bills Sunday for their third straight win. Joe Burrow has taken note of the Dolphins' two fourth-quarter comebacks thus far and said they can't rest easy until the final gun.
I mean, they came back on Baltimore in the fourth quarter. They got a really explosive offense, and so we know that they can come back at any point just because of the guys that they have. And so how that changes us, you know, if we get out on.
Yo, clones, what's going on? Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. Our huge call of the day today presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Hey, what a great day we've had, man, right? Is this a fun day? This is a fun show. Really great. So I want to thank everybody for helping make it a lot of fun. Obviously, Alvin DeLauro and Garrett Ritt. And Cindy, who's the makeup director, who, let me tell you something here right now. Getting a lot of the clones hitting me up on how young looking I am. They're like, wow, you are 52 years old. You don't look a day over 75. And I'm like, yeah, appreciate that. Thanks so much. But That's the amazing work of Cindy that she does here. She makes me look good. She makes Jim look good every day. So appreciate all you guys. Rich Ackerman back in New York. Peter Schwartz in New York. By the way, the entire production team in New York, dare I say, phenomenal. I mean, epic. Great job today, guys, because everything that we were talking about, just every direction that we were going, you guys were filling up the screens with all kinds of stuff. So really amazing, outstanding job. Hey, I just want to say one other thing to all of our friends in the state of Florida right now. You know, my sister happens to live in Tampa. My parents, Boca del Vista, phase four, darling. Okay, this is down in Delray Beach. But they were all expecting, especially in Tampa, a direct hit with Hurricane Ian. Didn't happen. A little bit south, Fort Myers, Florida. If you've seen any of the coverage on TV, this, by the way, is why I missed Aaron Judge's 61st home run last night, because I was so stuck on the Weather Channel making sure that everybody was okay. But listen, there are people coming and there's help on the way. And so obviously we're all thinking about our friends and our families and you know, just generally Americans down in the state of Florida who yesterday took that hit from Hurricane Ian. Interestingly, by the way, you know that the NFL was contemplating moving the Kansas City-Tampa game from Tampa to Minneapolis because, again, there was the expectation that there could be a direct hit in Tampa. Didn't happen, thank goodness. And so the game will continue as planned in Tampa. But interestingly, I will tell you guys that as the hurricane is moving north, or what's left of it, even as it makes landfall and it weakens, I was talking to my son this morning, and my son, shout out to my favorite college football team in America right now, the West Liberty University Hilltoppers. That is a Division II college football team and school in Wheeling, West Virginia. And never in my wildest dreams did I think that my kid who grew up in San Diego, in the coastal communities of San Diego, would go from, you know, Saddleback College in Mission Viejo to Wheeling, West Virginia to play college football. But they're actually contemplating, and I haven't heard the exact details quite yet, they're contemplating moving a Saturday college football game to Friday night because they expect more of this weather to come in on Saturday. So I will tell you guys, talking to Yogi Roth earlier today, we talked a lot about Pac-12 football, and we were talking ACC and SEC. You know, when you play big-time college football, you don't realize how easy life is. You know, you get on these great buses, and you travel to airports, and you get on chartered planes, and everybody's got all the team gear, and you go stay in really, frankly, fancy hotels, and you eat great food, and there's tons of coaches on the staff, and there's athletic trainers and nutritionists. And I mean, really, Division I college football is as close to professional sports as there is. And I would argue that the facilities and the people who work around it, they are the top pros in their business. And it's incredible, because then what happens is, when you see what happens at the Division II level, and I've had the chance now to kind of see it up close and personal because my son's playing this Division II college football, guys, you don't realize, like, at that level, they don't have the number of coaches. They don't have the number of athletic trainers. They don't have equipment people. When my son said to me, he called me after a game, he goes, yeah, I'm taking down the field goal kicking net. I go, well, don't you have equipment managers that pack up the stuff? He goes, no, man, this is D2. I pull out the kicking net. I take it to the field. I set it up. When the game is over, win, lose, or draw, I break it down. I got to take it and carry it. Got to carry the ball back. And I watched a couple weeks ago, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. I was there for that Browns versus Jets game. This was the game 2 weeks ago. Browns are up by 13 points with a minute 55 to go. And here comes Joe Flacco and the Jets onto the field to see. I'm sitting in the stands going, dude, I mean, this game's over. What are they going to do? Just run out the clock? And then I thought to myself, well, wait a second. If they score quickly, get an onside kick, score quickly again, and kick the PAT, they can actually pull off the upset and win this game. And that is precisely the script that needed to be written and followed, and for somehow, miraculously, it was. Nonetheless, I was there in Cleveland to see this team, my favorite college football team, the West Liberty Hilltoppers, play against Notre Dame. College of Cleveland, just to be clear. Not big Notre Dame, like Notre Dame College of Cleveland. And the game was over, and then we found a way to lose. And there's my kid breaking down the kicking net. So last week, this is, you know, as Jim is out visiting kids, and that's what happens. We all get older, right? And our kids start going to college, and then we wind up finding ourselves needing days off from work because, you know, we have to go visit our kids. Next week, I'm going to be at Boise State to see Boise State play Fresno State because it's family weekend. Last weekend, you talk about the absolute all-time thrill of a lifetime for a parent. I'm watching West Liberty against West Virginia Wesleyan on my phone. It's being streamed on the phone. Dude, there are no replays. This isn't ESPN Plus. This isn't the CBS Sports Network. This is Division II college football being streamed with two cameras. There's a wide shot and a close shot. Wide shot, close shot. That's it. And I'm sitting there on my phone, and my kid, man, I'm telling you, he's having a rough day. He's having a tough day. His snapper holder operation is having a tough day. And we wind up getting the ball back down 21-20. You've missed a field goal in the game from 32 yards, a PAT in the game, and we're about to lose this game by a point. And I'm like freaking out. Oh, my God, this kid, he's going to be a head case, et cetera, right? There's a minute 15 to go. We get the ball back. We have no timeouts remaining. We work the ball down to the 32-ish yard line. There's 16 seconds to go in the game, and it's fourth down. And out comes the field goal unit, and I'm like, oh, my God. They're going to give them a chance to win the game from 49 yards away. And indulge me, clones. Here's what happened last Saturday at my favorite college football team, West Liberty.
Field goal already. The junior lines up, snap down, kick is up. Does it have the leg? It's good! Justin Kaplan knocks it through. The Hilltoppers take the two-point lead with 10 seconds. But West Liberty's going to get flagged 15 yards for coming on the field on the kickoff.
If you could only see this video, and you can see it if you take a look for West Liberty University Athletics. The whole team rushed the field. There was still more game to be played. Shout out to my people at West Liberty. You know what? The little guy sometimes deserves a whole lot of national attention. So give them their love. Shout them out. Right on, man. Hey, listen, on the way out the door, I just want to say to all the clones out there, download my app. If you like to debate sports, it's a gamified debate platform. Sided debates. All you have to do is go to Apple or Google. You've seen the hat that I've had on the desk here all day. Sided debates. Come download us. Get involved. Win. Earn points. You're going to have a great time. Alvy, Garrett, the entire Mishbucha, thank you guys so much for having me. Jim Rome, I appreciate you, pal. Anytime you need me, I am here. And you know what? It is time to rock and roll. Peace out, everybody.